Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. Are you glad to be an American?
Yes.
Half of you are. When you start going to some other countries, all of you will be. Are you glad to be an American?
Yes.
Are you glad to be a Christian? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, man, that always excites me. I'll tell you something about this little one right here. You can finish. You may finish. Yeah, something special. Some of you know, some of you don't know about Miss Lynn, but come on over here. What did I do? She said, what did I do? You didn't do anything wrong. I'm thinking about how the government operates, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But she came over here, Pastor Charlie, found a bride and took her. And took her and brought her to this country, and she went through all the right process to become a citizen. How many years?
Huh?
How many years?
Years old.
How many years did you have to go through the process?
Five years.
5 years she went through the process to become a citizen of this land.
Yep.
That's the way it needs to be done.
Yep.
That's the law of our land. But she's pretty special.
Yeah. Of course I am.
But the reason I say she's pretty special is because the day that she became a citizen,
what?
The government shut down. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. The government shut down the day that she joined. So she's a pretty powerful person. We're glad to have you. We really are. No, that's the truth. It's not a field. So if you ever want the government shut down, just see Lynn.
I'm so scared.
It's been good, really. I want to share just a few things with you, a few quotes from our founding fathers, and they had a big struggle fighting tyranny, and somebody that was always wanting to control them, manipulate them, and not give them any freedom whatsoever. But with God's grace and God's help, they were able to fight it back and win and establish this great land that we live in. One of them said, John Adams said, "You will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." Well, I tell you what, when you think about what they went through and what the price that generation did pay, that we should and we really should always make good use of our freedom. You know, and the good book, the Bible tells us how to make good use of your freedom. Don't let your freedom become a stumbling block. Yeah, we have a freedom in this country, but Jesus said, don't let your freedom become a stumbling block to others, which means that we really need to follow this book, not to become a stumbling block. Thomas Jefferson said this, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. It's always watching, always keeping, always making sure that we maintain the freedom that we have. It can easily leave. As a matter, some of our liberties are already gone." I remember several years ago, Bobby Connor was here, and he said, "We're losing freedom. We're losing liberties that we'll never get back." And I'm thinking, that's true. It is true. It's hard to get back liberties that you've squandered and we've squandered and they've taken from us. He said, this is Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Those that can give up essential liberty to gain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." If you're willing to give up liberties that you have in order just to be safe, you're just stepping in the line of bondage. Freedom is costly. Jesus said, "It is for freedom that I set you free." You were set free to enjoy freedom and to let freedom endure. So there's a setting free of our salvation. Because of our salvation, we are set free. We're taken out of darkness and placed into his marvelous light. Amen? Amen. Everybody that's been born again has been set free from the power of darkness. It's true. It's true. But he said, if you give up a liberty just because somebody said they're threatening you, but you want your safety, so you give up liberties to have a safety, Benjamin Franklin said you deserve neither. And it's true. Listen to this one. When the people find out that they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of the republic. And last one says, there is nothing so likely to produce peace as to be well prepared to meet an enemy. Pause and think. George Washington said that. There is nothing so likely to produce peace as to be well prepared to meet the enemy. We are in a land of the free, home of the brave. Don't squander it. You'll have to stand up when others are saying, no, 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 no. But you'll have to still stand for truth. The gift of salvation, but everything else is going to cost you. The freedom that we experience today in the land is because we had men and women who paid the price to fight for it and to fight against tyranny. Don't take it for granted. And when it's your turn to stand up, take a stand for truth, take a stand for God, take a stand for the freedom that you have that has been God-given. Even though it came through man, it was given by God. Amen? Amen. Stand up and give God praise. Give him praise for the land that you live in. So when you flip that burger or roll that hot dog, say thank you, God, for all of it. So you don't have people at your... We don't have people outside with guns that are keeping us away and all that kind of stuff. So we have a freedom to celebrate. We really do. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit more about the fruit of the Spirit. The one we're going to pick on today is peace. Any of you think you could handle a little bit more peace in your life? For this bunch over here that don't, we're going to let y'all get up and tell us all about how you got it conquered. We're going to let all y'all come up here and say, well, I'll tell you how I've conquered and have it. I got all the peace I need. No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Galatians 5, again, says, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's pretty simple. Walk by the Spirit and you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. How do you not carry out the desire of the flesh? Walk by the Spirit. He said, and you will not do that. Then it goes on in verse 22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no opposition that can withstand the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing. The fruit of the Spirit is an encounter. Y'all need to listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is an encounter with the Spirit of God that leads you to an ongoing experience of the nature of Jesus. It leads you into an ongoing experience of the nature of Jesus. All of these that we read is the nature of Jesus. It also opens us up to what God has for us. And it forms a lifestyle that pleases the Father. He's already pleased with who you are. Same thing he said over his father. God, the Father, same thing he said over his son, he says about you. Because you're born again through the Spirit and washed by the blood of his own son. So when he said, behold, this is my son in whom, not what, in whom I am well pleased. He's well pleased with him being his son. So he's well pleased with you being the son and daughter of Jesus, of God. So he is pleased in you being his son, his daughter. But then there's another pleasure that he takes is when we follow him and do the things that please the Father. Do the things that are pleasing to him. That comes from the fruit of the Spirit. God is offering us and providing for us his unchanging life. Does that mean we don't need to change? No, it doesn't mean we still have changing. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, when it comes to our responses to people, our responses to situations, it should be unchanging because our desire should always be to become like Christ in everything that we do. That should never change. You hear me? That should never change. Your unchanging desire should always be to become like his son Jesus. No matter who approaches you, no matter who's giving you a difficult time, no matter what the situation is, our desire should always be to become like Jesus right in the middle of it. And we have the power and the ability to do that through the fruit of the Spirit. What this means is that we can live a life that is constant and consistent with the life of Jesus by the fruit of the Spirit. Does it mean we always do it? No. We're in progress. We're in the system of becoming like him. We're not perfect today, but our heart is always striving to say and to be like him. You can't be like Jesus and not have the fruit of the Spirit. It's his nature. It is his nature. That's what he's made available to us, his nature and living. He's already given you a new nature. But now he wants us to live out the nature that he gave us. We're a new creation. All nature was crucified on the cross. See, the cross took care of your nature. It died with him. The blood takes care of your sins. Your sin nature is taken care of by the cross. Your sins are taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Let me see if y'all can do this. Answer it in a song. What can wash away your sins? 1, 2, 3. See, nothing but the blood of Jesus is going to be able to wash away your sin. Nothing but the cross of Christ is going to take care of your sin nature and give you a new nature. See, he didn't try to fix the old nature because it's unfixable. It had to die with him. But he took care of your sins afterwards. How many sins did he take care of? How many? Say it loud. All of them. He didn't leave any of them out. But we're going to talk about peace today. Peace is a state of quietness. It's not being quiet. Peace is a state of quietness, stillness. You know, it says, be still. And what? And know that he is God. So knowing he is God sometimes has to come through what? Stillness. Peace. Our peace. It's a freedom from disturbance. Boy, I like that, don't you? It's a freedom from disturbance. It's stillness. If you're walking in a non-peaceful situation, if you show up, you bring God's peace to the forefront. If you're walking in peace. If you're walking in panic, you're walking in uncertainty, you're walking in doubt, you're walking in worry, you're walking in anxiety, that is what you will give the atmosphere of the room. But when you understand the peace that is beyond your understanding, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, when you understand the peace that God has given us and how we can operate in it, no matter what the situation is, we can bring him to the forefront as he invites others to enter in the same peace. It's not always for you and I. It is for you and I. But when we carry it, it is for others as well. Others. Sometimes you and I go through things that it's not really for us. Sometimes you and I go through things because it's for the other person that you're about to meet. And it's just preparing you to give it to him. I'm telling you the truth. God is setting you up. God has set all of us up to be able to be ministers of who he is to other people. It's not just me and mine and that's it. It's so we can minister to other people. So we can bring his presence, his peace into the situation when somebody doesn't have peace. One of the things that I've watched Brenda do so many times in her, when I watch her pray for people, she is very quick to begin to call for peace to come upon this person's life. I mean, almost every prayer that I hear her pray for other people, she is calling for peace to come into this person's life. Peace is very important. So when you don't have peace, your mind is everywhere. Your soul is scattered. But we really need to, you know, peace is something that you can give away because Jesus told the disciples, he said, when you enter the home, what should you do? What should you say?
Let your peace be upon his house.
Let your peace be upon you. Peace into this home. So when you go into people's homes, just say peace, 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 peace into this home. When you walk into your own home, peace into this home. See, Jesus said you can actually give it away just by speaking it if you have it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. All right. If you have it, you can give it away. And he said, speak. It said, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 talked about the name of the Lord, talked about Jesus and the name of the Lord. And one name that he gave was a Prince of Peace. He is peace. He is peace. The Prince of Peace. And also in verse 7 of Isaiah 9, it says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. He puts peace in with governing. You catch that? Peace is a power. And as we walk in it, we will have power in our governing, whatever it is that we need to do. The Bible says that there will be no end to the increase of the governing or the peace. There'll be no end to the increase of peace. So it's going to continue to increase. It's either a yes or a no. And I say, yes, that's what the Bible says. And I'm telling you today that his peace will continue to increase. You look at the world and you say, how in the world can that be? I know how. He said so. He said so. Does that matter?
Yes.
Why does that matter? He doesn't lie. So peace is a ruling power. It will overwhelm anxiety, fear, and panic. And there is no adversary that you'll ever meet that is stronger than the peace of God. Amen. When we partner with the Prince of Peace, we activate our lives, the identity in Christ of being an overcomer. When we activate peace in our life, we demonstrate that we are in Christ and that we are overcomers. Didn't mean we don't go through things. It means we overcome the things that we go through. I don't know about that. Well, it's usually because our thinking is wrong. Our belief system is wrong. Because he says the peace, there'll be, it won't have an end to the increase of it. You know, peace cannot be generated by your own self. I'm gonna become. It doesn't work. How many of you have ever tried to be peaceful? Yeah. See, it's not the peacekeepers that God blesses, it is the peacemakers. Make peace. Not keep the peace, make peace. But he wants us to understand that he is in the middle of everything that we're going through, and he loves being present with us. How many of you know that he is present with us all the time? He never leaves us, never forsakes us. We think he's left us sometimes because we don't feel him, we don't hear him, we don't sense him, but he's still with us, always with us. But we can't come up with it ourselves. Matter of fact, it is a relationship with him that gives us peace. Over in Exodus 33, it talks about Moses and the Lord, and the Lord tells Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And that word rest in the Hebrew is peace. It's the same as peace. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you peace. I'll give you rest. Moses turns around and says, if thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up to go anywhere. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight? Your peace is letting others know that the favor of God is upon you in this situation. Your peace in him lets other people know that God's favor is upon you. He goes on and says, I and thy people, it is not by thy going with us. Is it not by thy going that the people may be, we may be distinguished from the other people who are upon the face of this earth? It is a distinguishing mark that we are different. We are not the same as worldly people. His presence and his peace. See, his presence is linked to his peace. When you are aware of his presence, then you're aware of the peace of God. You're aware of all the fruit. I don't know which one he wants to activate at that time. Whatever moment you and I have, he'll activate one or the other, or maybe several of them. But like we said at the beginning of the series, it's always an invitation. No matter what you're going through, you always have an invitation from God to enter into one of them. Always, it's always an invitation. It's not a punishment when you go through difficulties. It's never a punishment. See, the thing is, God wants us to notice who he is to begin with, and then he also wants us to be able to walk with him as he walks with us. That walking with him is to be able to live out the very things that he said that we could have that's inside us. I was watching a movie one time, and a question was asked. The bad guy asked the other guy, said, "What is it that you want?" Because he's trying to bargain for his life, the bad guy. He said, "What is it that you want? What do you want? What do you want?" And the good guy said, "Peace." And the bad guy said, "Well, it is a commodity and it is very expensive, but I think I can buy it for you." Could he? Absolutely not. It is not generated by man, nor it is given by man, other than if you have it, you can give the peace that you have, you can give it to other people. But that's not a bargaining tool. That's a blessing tool. Even you think, well, people don't deserve the things that belong to God because they're not living for God. At one time or another, we are all that way. We make mistakes. We do things that we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't do. We have attitudes that we shouldn't have. But we still have him. And his peace is always available. His fruit is always available. So let me tell you about this in Mark 4. You can go to that if you want to. Mark chapter 4. Jesus has been talking about parables. The whole time he's been talking to parables, to the people in parables, parables, stories, stories, stories. And then he looks at the disciples and he says this. He said, "And on that day, and the evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.'" He's already in the boat. The shore was so, well, the shore was so crowded that he had to get in the boat, sit down, and talk to the people because there was no room for him to stand. So he's already in the boat, and then he says, "Come, let us." He's finished speaking, so he says, "Come, let's go to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them just as he was in the boat. He was already in the boat. They just joined him in the boat. And there arose a fierce gale of wind and waves that were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. That's a pretty bad storm. Have you ever had a storm in your bathtub? It started just filling up and you couldn't get it out. Drain and it won't cut off. And all of a sudden it overflows, or the other seat overflows. That's a bigger storm. But see, this boat is filling up. They're fighting the wind. That's a strong gale. They're fighting the wind. They're trying to bail the water out with whatever they have in the boat. And they're trying to get clear of it, trying to get clear of it. And the wind is tossing them. The waves are huge. But he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and aroused him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" They're already at the point to say this: if something doesn't change, we'll never get out of this. We will not get out of this if something doesn't change. So being aroused, he rebuked the wind. Now listen, the reason he rebuked the wind, because there was something in the wind that was not good. So he was able to rebuke the wind. He rebuked the wind, and said to the sea. So he's talking to the wind and he's talking to the sea. Then he says, "Hush." One translation says, "Shut up. Be still." And that's just with his words. And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" And I'm like, when you think about this, usually when you get answers to prayer, it's your faith worked. But he answered their prayer, and they said, "Why are you guys so afraid? Why is your faith so small?" See, they still don't get it. And they became very much afraid. Why was that? Because they said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" See, the disciples were going, supposed to, going through the Sea of Galilee, but the big storm came up. But see, they had forgotten what Jesus said. What did Jesus say at the very beginning? What was it? Say it. "Let's go to the other side." What does that mean? Nothing's going to stop us from getting to the other side. What has God told you sometimes that all of a sudden the gale winds come up and what he said matters very little to you because you're so focused on what you're going through? And he wants us to focus on what he said. What he said earlier was, let's go. Now, where were they going? They was going to the other side. Nothing couldn't stop them. See, when you begin to see this, you begin to see that Jesus conveniently made himself unavailable to them. He was still with them, that he was a little bit unavailable. Why? He was asleep. I heard Bill Johnson say this one time before, and it really, really stuck with me. And he said, "The storm that you're able to sleep through is the storm that you have authority over." Put it another way, the only authority that you have is in the storms is the one that you can sleep in. So here's a question. Are we training disciples to be able to sleep in their storms? Or are we training disciples to doubt God and to doubt what he said? If he said we're going to the other side, guess what's going to happen? We're going to the other side, no matter what happens. But see, he laid an opportunity out before them. That's the reason I say that, is because he said, "Why are you so timid? Why are you so fearful?" What do you think he was expecting them to do? What do you think he was expecting them to do? Say something to the wind and say something to the waves. Because he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. We have great peace, and with great peace is great power. But it's not to do whatever we want. See, they heard Jesus' words, "We're going to the other side," because they could have easily spoke to the wind because of one reason. They heard Jesus say, "We're going to the other side." So what are you going through? See, sometimes what happens is we often normalize worry, stress, the pressure that we get. We sort of normalize worry and anxiety. That's just life. That's just who we are. But see, Jesus doesn't do that. He says, "Be anxious for nothing." That's the way of God. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. Worry. You don't try to normalize it. Well, everybody does it. No. We can always say that, but see, we want to keep our common theme of we're weak, and we are weak people, and he's strong in us. But when we go through things, God is saying, where is your faith? See, they didn't go into the part of using the peace that God had given them. They went straight to the point of being worrisome, fearing for their own life. See, the storm actually came into their life to be able to show them who he really is, because they yet did not know who he really was. And that's us sometimes. Sometimes we will take his calmness and his peace as he doesn't care. But he does. Lord, where are you? My marriage is in a mess. Where are you? Lord, where are you? I lost my job. Don't you care? You hear it? Don't you care that I lost my job? Don't you care that I've been sick? Lord, where are you? Don't you care? How many of you have ever been there before? Don't you care, Lord? I'm going through something here. Don't you care? But because he hasn't fully answered the way we think he should, but he wants us to have a trust in him to believe his word about whatever situation that you're going through. And he cares far beyond you ever care in yourself. Far beyond that. So we begin to see that sometimes the turmoil that we go through, we have a tendency to say, Lord, where are you? That's the reason I've said he made himself a little bit unavailable during the storm. He was still with them, never left them. But they had, listen, asleep in all of that going on. And they had to wake him up because they're fearing for their own lives. And he stands up and does exactly what he thinks they need to do. But one of the reasons we can't do it is because we don't walk in the peace that he wants us to walk in. And we need to start walking in the peace that he said, what he said will come true. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. And then he says this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, I'm leaving peace with you, and I'm, see, peace is also a gift and a fruit, and I give you peace. Not as the world gives you. It's not the peace that the world thinks it has. It's my peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's the peace that I give you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't have a troubled heart. Neither let it be afraid. Colossians 3:15 said, let the peace of Christ rule, R-U-L-E, rule your hearts. Okay, we read it and just move right on. Well, what does it mean? It means let the peace, the word rule means to govern, it means to umpire, it means to call the strike, call the out, make the call. Let peace make the call in your heart. So when you got decisions to make, and if you don't have peace, what should you do? Don't do it. Don't do it. Let the peace of God umpire your life. I remember coming here. I was already a member here. But I was asked to be associate pastor, and it's been years and years ago. Pastor Rogers said, the elders want you to pray about this. And to be honest with you, I did not see me functioning that way. So he said, go pray about it, because that's what they want to do. Bring you on as associate pastor. Well, I went home, and here was my prayer. Lord, you don't really want me to do that. I didn't think so. I'm honest with you. That was my so-called prayer, because I done made my mind up. No, he needs help, but I'm not the help that he needs. So 8 months later, he came again and said, "I want you to go back and pray. I want you to go back," because I went and told him, "No. You know, get somebody that is really qualified." You know, he came back 8 months later and said, "I want you to accept. I want you to go pray for it again." And I had to be honest with you, and I said, "Pastor, I didn't pray about it the first time. I really didn't. Because I didn't think it was God." And I got the same feeling now that I did 8 months ago. He said, "I'll tell you what, just go pray. This time go pray." So I went and went home and went in the back room and hit. As soon as my knee hit the floor, I'm telling you, as soon as my knee hit the floor, I was overwhelmed with peace that was beyond my understanding. There could have been a war in the next room, but it would not have fazed me. But the supernatural peace of God overwhelmed me in such a way that I started crying. Because I knew this is what I'm supposed to go do. Because I heard the whisper of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in my being, not audibly. "Let the peace of God rule your heart." And I was overcome with a peace that was beyond my understanding. And I knew I needed to do what he wanted me to do, what he was asking me to do. Bless you. So I knew that. So the peace of God helped me make that decision, and I'm still here today, believe it or not. But then another time, there was a situation that came about, I can tell you a lot of, but this situation, there was a business venture that came through and came about, they said that all you need to do is invest, you know, several thousands of dollars, and what we can do with it, we'll turn it into a 27%, 28% interest in just a short period of time. Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? So I'm like, "Where's my wallet? Give me that checkbook, Brenda." So I had that going on, and all of a sudden, then I paused for a second, and I said, "Lord, what do you say?" I just said that loud. I said, "Lord, what do you say about this?" Once again, it was no peace. None. I was anxious, I was fretful, I was concerned, I was like, I had none of that. And I said, "Lord, I don't have any peace about this." "Then you shouldn't do it." And I didn't. And come to find out a little bit later that it was a Ponzi scheme, which I would have lost all the money that I put in. You hear me? I'd have lost all the money that I put in and wouldn't have made anything. Matter of fact, I'd have lost money. Why? Why did that happen? The peace of God, if you listen for the peace of God, wait for the peace of God before you start making these decisions. Now, let me go back to the first one. Come here to be on staff. I did tell God, "I'll do it." Yes, I'll do it. But I did ask him for a favor. Any of y'all know what it was? I said, I'll do it, Lord, but I really want you to tell Brenda. Because my career at that business was secure. It was completely secure. Secure in earthly things as much as you can get. And I'm like, she ain't going to like this. You know, so I did. I said, Lord, I just ask you to. I mean, it wasn't a bargaining chip. Don't get me wrong. I really want you to tell Brenda. And he did. He let her know. And I'm like, so God wants us to operate in a peace. But let me tell you this about a peace that's beyond your understanding. You ready? You get the peace that is beyond your understanding when you give up your right to understand. If you still have a right to understand, I got to understand this before I do anything. Well, then that peace that's going to be beyond your understanding is not going to come because you haven't given that right up. When you give up your right to understand, then his peace will go way beyond what you understand. I can't explain it today, how I got here, other than the fact the peace of God overwhelmed me. And I've said this in front of y'all before. Y'all accepted me as your associate pastor. Then you accepted me as your senior pastor. And I've gotten more senior over the years. But see, in all of that, I've said thank you to this house for allowing me to learn how to pastor this house. But I didn't know how to do that. Matter of fact, the day one when we installed as a senior pastor, I had a member of the church to come by and first person to come by, and I hugged him, and I whispered into his ear, I said, I don't have a clue what to do. And that's exactly what I said. I don't have a clue what to do. And what he said to me was this. He said, that's the reason he chose you. Because he wants to give you the clues. Not from man, but from him.
And we thank you right back.
You will?
We thank you right back.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's been an honor to be here. It really has. Somebody mentioned to me the other, I don't know, sometime back, said, are you fixing to leave this place? I was asked when I was 65, are you going to retire? And I said, it's not on my radar. What have you heard? You know, and then when I turned 70, it came again, and then somebody at last year, I think it was last year, said, are you about to leave this place? And I said, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? He said, well, you got a sign out there, something you always wanted. You got new chairs, got a new van. Most people, when they start to leave, they get everything they needed done before they leave. And I said, leaving here is not on my radar. It's really not. Am I saying it? I don't know. It's not left up to me. But I'll have the peace of God when that happens. Does that make sense? I'm not. Anyway. I'm still learning. So, and I'm grateful that you're allowing me the opportunity to still learn. Let me share one more. Let me share. It's really a hymn. Philippians. I ran across this last night. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, we've all heard that, and I'm like, yeah, we need to dwell. We need to really dwell on that. Then the very next verse, he says this, the things you have learned received, heard, and seen in me, practice these things. And then he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know the first question? That popped into my mind? Wait a minute. God, you're already with me. I already have you with me. Why is this verse telling me that if I practice these things and do these things, that the God of peace shall be with me? I already have you. See, this is a teaching moment. So I go back and I look, and that little word with makes all the difference in the world. That little word with just does not mean I'm just by your side. Doesn't mean that. Would you like to know what it means? Here's what it means. In the midst of, to wage war against the things that oppose you. In the midst of, to wage war against the things that oppose you. It means to occupy a position, him occupying a position between, in order to modify the things that oppose you. They'll modify, he said, he's just not with us. He is holding a position. If we do these things, he's holding the position that says, I'll wage war on what opposes you. I'm blown away by that. You know what I'm doing now? I'm finding out, okay, whatsoever things are true. So I start thinking about whatsoever things are true. I start to think whatever things are honorable, and I sort of dwell on that. Why? Because I want him to oppose whatever's opposing me. And that's what that means. I'm like, God, this is awesome. This is awesome. And Romans 16, 20 says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That's what that verse is talking about. One last one. Isaiah 26. The Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. I have read that verse and I have talked to people about that verse. Just think about God. Just think on God. Just think on God. Just think on God. That's not what he's saying. Are you here? That's not what he, what is he saying? The word keep means to maintain and preserve, to watch over and to hide. Sometimes, do you know sometimes he hides you and I? He just hides us from everything else that's going on. He just hides us. Hidden, we're hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Then this word mind. Well, the next one is peace, perfect peace. Do you know what the word for peace is? Shalom. Shalom. Peace. Say it. Shalom. Say it again. Shalom. Do you know what the word for perfect is? Say shalom. That's the word. In the original, he's saying this. He said, I will keep him in shalom, shalom. He says it, but now the translators use perfect. But it is the same. Go look it up. Same word. Shalom, shalom. When he doubles that, you know that he means it more than you ever thought about. It's like the doubleness of peace. He said, that's what I'll give you. He said, whose mind, and the word mind is not thinking. The word mind is, it means this, positioned to being shaped by the potter. I will keep him at peace, peace, who is positioned to be shaped by the potter. I will keep him at peace, peace, who has purposed to be framed by God. I will keep him at peace, peace, when they're imagining God shaping them into the likeness of his son. In other words, we are positioning ourselves on the potter's wheel, being fashioned, being surrendered, being yielded to his hands and to whatever he wants to do with us. He said, I will keep him at peace, peace, when you are there. Yes. Not just thinking. It's about a position. It's about your sin. You're yielded. And this last thing is about, he says, stayed. Whose mind, you're stayed. Be able to come up here just for a moment. This word stayed, who has stayed on him. This position is stayed upon him. Here's what that word means. I want you to turn around. I want you to brace yourself. Brace yourself. And I'm going to put some pressure on you, okay? And the reason I'm doing that is because I don't know what he's about to do. But I know what I'm about to do. Stayed. Here's the word picture for stayed. You ready? Placing your hand on a wall. With a full lean. Stayed. Placing. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Placing your hand upon a wall with a full lean. Stayed. Placing all that you have upon him and leaning all your weight on him. That whatever this is, he's fashioning me, and I see myself being fashioned by him. And he says, I'll keep that person in perfect peace. It means a whole lot more than we thought, right? Let's pray. God, just stop us from, help us stop normalizing worry and anxiety and giving it a place where you said, be anxious for nothing. Look, God, just help us do that. Bring us to the place that we have a full lean upon you, that no matter what we're going through, what you're doing is fashioning us, forming us, positioning us to be more like your son. We love you and we thank you, and help us to walk in the fullness of your peace and the power of your peace that you said is ours to have. So the next time we get rattled, we get tested, we get things that come into our lives, situations, people, that we will first lean into you and we'll be able to give them peace that could be beyond their understanding as well. Help us to give the peace away to others that you have given to us for your glory and people's well-being. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you would like to have just more peace in your life? You just want more peace. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and just ask him for it. Just ask him for the peace. Welcome him into your life to shape you. Lord, shape me like Jesus. And don't let us jump off the potter's wheel. Cause us to thrive with the fruit of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.